Hello, everyone, and welcome to Full Time, where we take you around the world of soccer, locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Full Time is presented by The Game Sports Show and powered by The Game Entertainment and Media. You are listening to Season 2, Episode 4 of Full Time. I am your host, Daniel Scarpino, and with me is our co-host, Gaetano Gallo. Before we begin today's show, Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. With their three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, you can download and access the Pizza Portal app so you can enjoy a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Remind our listeners that Full Time is a weekly recorded podcast on the Game Sports Show. Recordings of Full Time occur every week, and uploads to all of our platforms for public viewing and listening occur every week as well. To everyone who has taken the time to listen here today, it is an honor to be with you. Your support of this show and our platform means everything to us, and we are excited to have you with us here this evening. Gaetano, December is nearly here, and the footy continues on. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Scarps. How are you?
Life is good, my friend, and I am really excited to take on today's episode with you. A fair notice to our listeners that this week's episode has come a couple of days in advance, I suppose, from what we originally stated that it would, and that's due to some scheduling rearrangements. And in today's episode, we will be discussing the second round of games from the group stage at the World Cup in Qatar, as well as a couple of other items along the way. A lot of action has unfolded over the past 9 days at the World Cup, and things are really starting to take shape. So, without further ado, Gaetano, and to everyone who has taken the time to tune in here today, let's kick off. We first begin by briefly discussing recent news regarding the U.S. National Soccer Hall of Fame. Here on Full Time, we do have many American listeners and supporters of the show, largely in part to our beloved Scott Nason, who is a great advocate for soccer across the border and on this show. It has been announced that Landon Donovan and DeMarcus Beasley will be inducted into the U.S. National Soccer Hall of Fame. Landon Donovan scored 57 goals in 157 international appearances for the United States over the span of 15 years at international level. He currently is joint top goal scorer and is second in caps, otherwise known as appearances made for his country. With major personal accolades won, Donovan also won MLS titles on four different occasions, scoring 145 goals in 340 games. Featuring in European competition, Donovan also played in the Champions League during his career. DeMarcus Beasley played for seven clubs throughout his near 20-year career. Amongst his many personal accomplishments, he won 12 major trophies at club level throughout the U.S. and in Europe. Beasley played in four World Cups, scoring 17 goals in 126 appearances, not to mention the five CONCACAF Gold Cup titles accumulated along the way. Beasley has since gone into coaching, where he was manager of the San Diego Loyal of the United Soccer League. Gaetano, you and I have both watched and talked a lot of MLS down the years. These two guys, of course, rightly inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's undeniable that they've done wonders in their careers. And I just wanting your thoughts on these two individuals and the footballing careers that they had.
Yeah, they're no-brainers for the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame. It's honestly a little more shocking that they weren't already in it. But it is, Canada and the States, our soccer is very intertwined. And without, you know, the Landon Donovans, the DeMarcus Beasleys, the MLS wouldn't have grown to what it is, which means soccer in Canada wouldn't have grown to what it is. So, yeah, there's massive impacts from both of these guys.
I couldn't agree more, particularly on the development of the MLS. You take from where the MLS was at the beginning of those guys' careers. I mean, we were young at the time and we just started watching it. And you take a look at what the MLS is now. It's absolutely huge. And then you also take a look at the United States in this World Cup, and they are certainly doing a fantastic job. And these two individuals certainly had a big part in the development pathway of U.S. soccer, which has, of course, since taken off. So a huge congratulations to both Landon Donovan and DeMarcus Beasley on their tremendous accomplishments, which summates two incredible careers. Folks, day 9 of the World Cup in Qatar has just finished, and things just keep getting better and better. Gaetano, we continue to be on the edge of our seats. Just how good has this World Cup been?
There's been some absolute bangers of games, Scarps. I've been loving it.
I'm with you on that 100%. Again, as we always say on Full Time, but as we say in the world of football, you can expect the unexpected. So what we're going to do here is we are going to get everyone caught up on these past 5 days of the World Cup. If anyone wants to listen to our analysis of the first 4 days of the World Cup, please check out our last week's podcast on Full Time, which was Season 2, Episode 3. Switzerland and Cameroon kicked off Group G action in a match which was about as equal as it gets. It was the Swiss who found a way to win by a score of 1-0. Gaetano, you and I disagreed about these two sides. I was a bit high on Cameroon and you were a bit high on the Swiss. In this head-to-head matchup, it's Switzerland who prevail. Your thoughts on this one?
I think, like you said, it was a super even game. There's not a lot that separates both of these sides. And I think Switzerland got a fair result out of it.
Yeah, and both teams actually played today, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, and some different results on that occasion. Group H began with Uruguay taking on South Korea. With only one shot on target the entire match, this one ended in a 0-0 draw. Gaetano, for me, there wasn't a lot in this one. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was surprising how kind of quiet and boring this game was, considering some of the offensive firepower South Korea and Uruguay have. A little bit disappointing.
Yeah, and you never know, I suppose, in the first game of the tournament, maybe it's jitters, maybe it's nerves, maybe it's tactics, or maybe it's a combination of all of those things, but certainly not the most entertaining game. Back in Group G, it was, in fact, entertainment delight as Portugal went up against Ghana. After a scoreless first half, it was none other than Cristiano Ronaldo who opened up the scoring after converting his penalty in the 65th minute. A quick equalizer by Ghana saw an even quicker response from Portugal to restore their one-goal lead. Portugal gave themselves a bit of a cushion after going 3-1 up on 80 minutes. A late surge from Ghana wasn't quite enough despite getting another goal just before full time. Portugal claims all 3 points in this one by a score of 3-2. Gaetano, this was a fun, intense battle, particularly in the second half, between two sides who really, really wanted it. Give us your thoughts, my friend.
I think this was probably the best game of the World Cup so far. Just when you want entertainment, you want goals, you want drama, like it had everything. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was certainly one of the best games of the World Cup and from all facets of the game, and particularly that second half, the 5 goals was just keeping us on the edge of our seats, which was amazing. In Group H, Brazil met up with Serbia in the final match of the first round of games in the group stage. About as comfortable as you'd like, the Brazilians showcased why they are one of the favorites at this tournament, beating Serbia by a score of 2-0. Gaetano, I thought Brazil was quite impressive in this match. What did you see in this one?
Yeah, they were great. They dominated. Serbia's got a good little team, but Brazil was just far too much for them.
Yeah, and I fully agree that Brazil was too much in just about every area of the pitch, but Serbia had another intense game today, and we'll talk about that here in a little while. If you are a fan of late drama, then Group B's matchup between Wales and Iran was for you. After the Welsh goalkeeper, Wayne Hennessy, was sent off in the 86th minute for a reckless tackle, it was Iran who took advantage, scoring in the 98th and 101st minute to beat Wales by a score of 2-0. Gee, a careless sending off, an unthinkable amount of stoppage time, and 2 goals in the depths of that stoppage time. Probably a result we didn't think would happen, or at least not in this fashion. Just what did you make of this game?
It was nuts. I think the red card was absolutely fair, not arguing that at all. And then I really like, throughout the whole tournament, there's been a lot more stoppage time, kind of negating the time-wasting tactics. And Iran took advantage of that.
Yeah, they certainly took advantage, and I was able to catch the end of that game, and I was able to see the goals, and I thought to myself, wow, probably just in the end, because it was certainly a sending off, and there was some arguments in the media to say that it wasn't a sending off, but as a referee, I have a hard time wrapping my head around that one, G. The host Qatar saw Senegal in Group A. Apart from a few nervy moments in this one, it was Senegal who ended up prevailing by a score of 3-1. Gee, we know that even without Sadio Mane, this Senegal side is very good. Qatar, in some ways, gave a good account of themselves, but it wasn't enough as they are now eliminated from qualification contention. Give us your thoughts here.
Yeah, I think Qatar definitely played a better game than their first game. Would have been hard for them to play worse. But definitely gave a good showing, and Senegal was just too much for them.
Yeah, too much for them in the end, and an honor for Qatar to host the World Cup, but they will not be going through. The Netherlands and Ecuador took to the pitch in the other Group A match. With an opportunity for both of these sides to take a strong hold of this group, it was neither who ended up doing so. The points ended up being shared in this one as the result was 1-1. Gee, a great start by the Netherlands in this game was only to be canceled out by, guess who? Enter Valencia. Give us your breakdown here, sir.
He's just having a tournament. I love it for him. Just a super, super good game. Didn't expect it to be as tight as it was. I thought Netherlands would have a little more more of an edge, but it was an excellent game to watch.
I agree with that fully. And as I said, I think it was on our last week's podcast. It may have been the one before, but I do think that as the tournament goes on, the Netherlands will probably play even more pragmatic football. I thought they could have been a little bit more adventurous in the attack, but nevertheless, the 1-1 result was probably justified in the end. If you enjoy reading the Footballing Press, then you would have had to look no further than England and the USA, as they both competed in Group B. After both sides had good performances in their first matches of the tournament, respectively, nothing could separate them in their contest against each other. Scoreless, but not the most boring, this one ends 0-0. Gee, a lot of negativity coming out after this one in the English media. That said, a lot of positivity coming out after this match in the American media. Gareth Southgate, the England manager, stated that he was happy with his team's performance and that no negativity was warranted, particularly being booed off the pitch at full time. The United States, incidentally, feel that their side had themselves a very good performance. Give us your thoughts on this result, G, which sees these two sides get 1 point each.
I think from the U.S. perspective, they played a great game. They got a pretty fair result. I don't think they were very likely to beat England. But from the England perspective, the booing, I don't think, is directed at the players and their performance. It's got to be directed at Gareth Southgate, because he, you know, you're in a tie game at the World Cup, and you have a player like Phil Foden, and you're not putting him on the field. I don't understand that at all.
Well, and you as a Manchester City fan, I mean, every pundit's been talking about it. Should he be in this England side year? Is that even a question?
I went into this tournament thinking he's a nailed-on starter, for being totally honest. On either wings, you could play him in midfield. Like, he's played at false nine at Man City. Like, he has the tactical versatility to kind of do anything that Southgate needs him to do, and he just doesn't play him. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand it either. And Southgate has come out and he said two things that really caught my attention. He said that he doesn't really fancy Foden in the central positions. He does see him as more of a wide player on the wing, the type of player that'll cut inside and make something happen. So that was the first thing that caught my attention. But obviously, you know, as a Manchester City fan under Guardiola, you know, Foden's played in a multitude of positions. But the second thing that he said, and I think this kind of speaks to what you were alluding to a little earlier, G, is that Southgate said, he goes, well, I don't think the players were booed off the field. So it's kind of that cognitive dissonance, that sort of social deflection, where he's saying, well, yeah, it's not the players that are being booed off the field. I think the boos are directed at me. So I think we're on the same page there. Do you think that England's going to turn it around here in their third match?
I really hope so. It would be a shame to see such a quality side go out in the group stages. And, you know, given the rest of their group, they really should be going through.
I agree with that for sure. Tunisia and Australia got things going in Group D. Both teams, who had very different starts to this tournament, saw each other in what was a highly contested match, both sides knowing that points are certainly at a premium. In the end, one goal is all it took, as it's Australia who win by a score of 1-0. G, the stakes are ever high in Group D. What did you take from this game?
I thought it was a really, really well-played game from Australia. Pretty tight in terms of, you know, there's not a lot of difference between the two squads, but Australia played a great game.
Yeah, and they needed to rebound after their 4-1 defeat to open the tournament, and they certainly did just that. Poland and Saudi Arabia met in Group C action. Saudi Arabia coming off an unthinkable result after beating Argentina. It was Poland who needed to respond after drawing their opening game of the tournament. The response from Poland was exactly what happened. A 2-0 victory to Poland sees them claim all 3 points and their second clean sheet in as many games. G, give us your breakdown here, sir.
I like that you mentioned the clean sheets, because Wojciech Szczęsny had himself a game against Saudi Arabia. The penalty save and the follow-up save were just absolutely world-class. And it's wild to think that that was Robert Lewandowski's first World Cup goal.
It is wild to think, especially given his pedigree in the world of football, not just at club level, but at international level too. So yes, an unthinkable statistic in many ways. But as you know, and as they say, in order to win major tournaments, you got to keep clean sheets. And Poland's doing just that right now. And I mean, the goalkeeper's been asked to make some saves, of course. Szczęsny, you know, he's got pedigree all over Europe in terms of his career. But if they can continue to do this, I think that Poland could do some damage. Denmark and France close out the second round of games in Group D. It was the one, it was the main man who ended up stealing the show, and you know who that is. That's no other than Kylian Mbappe, who scored both of France's goals to see them gain a huge result against perhaps their toughest opponent in the group. France wins this game by a score of 2-1. Gaetano, my opinion, this is a massive result for France and does cause some concern for Denmark. What are you making of this one?
Yeah, absolutely huge for France. And you said it was the Kylian Mbappe show. It always was going to be. And it was just incredible performance from him. And as far as Denmark goes, 1 point after two games isn't the worst in the world, but they definitely want to get a better result than that.
I agree. And it was that one man who stole the show, and Mbappe certainly had himself a man of the match, worthy performance. And yes, Denmark, not the end of the road for them, but they're certainly going to have to turn things up in their final game in the group stage. Argentina and Mexico met in Group C as well. After a disappointing result in their first match of the tournament, Argentina bounced back and found themselves on the better end of a 2-0 victory. Gee, it's defeat for Mexico and smiles for Argentina. Your take on this one?
Yeah, it was a very CONCACAF game, if you know what I mean. Lots of hard tackles, very physical, and in the end, Lionel Messi does what Lionel Messi does and carries Argentina to a victory.
That's exactly. And you know, it's funny you mentioned the CONCACAF style. You do watch CONCACAF games, and it's that grit. It's that grind, it's that getting stuck in, and that's sort of this the feel that this game had. And I suppose in the Copa America, you do get those sorts of battles as well, so it certainly was an entertaining one to catch. Japan and Costa Rica cracked on with things in Group E. In a match with a few ups and downs, it was Costa Rica who kept their World Cup hopes alive, defeating Japan by a score of 1-0. Gaetano, it was glory for Japan in their first match, while Costa Rica suffered humiliation. In this one, the script has been flipped. Your thoughts for this result?
Probably the most unexpected result I've seen from the tournament so far. I didn't really fancy the Costa Rica squad going into this. I think Japan's got a nice little team. Totally took me off guard here.
And again, we are seeing in this tournament that there are shock results and surprise victories for teams that we wouldn't expect necessarily to win. And Costa Rica certainly fits the profile for that. In Group F, we see yet another surprising result at this tournament, where Belgium played Morocco. After results in both teams' first games that they, I would say, probably would gladly accept, it was the underdogs, Morocco, who defeated Belgium by a score of 2-0. Gee, we know that anything can happen in football, as we've been talking about all show, and we've seen that a ton this tournament. Did this result surprise you?
Yes and no. Morocco has a very talented team, players like Achraf Hakimi and Hakim Ziyech. They're a very good team, and Belgium, like Kevin De Bruyne said in an interview, they're kind of past the golden generation. They're a little older now. So I'm not overly shocked. I just think the 2-0 scoreline is a little more surprising than anything.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I actually had a conversation this morning with one of my colleagues, and you know, we were talking about it, and I said, well, you know, Belgium's probably a little bit past it, as is probably Croatia in terms of their golden generation squad. Still very good teams, but for me, yes, a bit of a surprising result. Maybe not the most surprising, but Morocco certainly will take those 3 points gladly. The Group F matchup that had every set of Canadian eyes peeled to their television occurred Sunday morning, where Canada went up against Croatia. A dream start for Canada, as Alphonso Davies scored a towering header just 2 minutes into the match. This was Canada's first ever goal at the World Cup and the quickest goal at this tournament so far. With all of the country buzzing, things looked good for quite some time. Things did turn, however, in the 36th minute when Andre Kramaric put things level. Then it was Marco Levaya scoring on the stroke of halftime, which brought things to 2-1 in favor of Croatia. In the second half, Canada had their moments, but it was another two goals for Croatia that sealed the deal. The final score in this one was 4-1 for the favorites, Croatia. This, incidentally, knocks Canada out of the tournament and ends their journey at the World Cup. Gaetano, not the result that any of us Canadians wanted, but we have to accept this result and recognize that on the day we were beat by a better opponent. Give us your thoughts here, sir.
Yeah, it was absolutely heartbreaking. The quick start, going into that game, thinking this is going to be a long slugfest. Croatia's a very good team. So to get that start with Fonzie scoring our first goal in the Men's World Cup was incredible. I will say, though, this is probably the first time I think John Herdman's made major tactical errors with Canada. Croatia, their midfield three of Modric, Kovacic, and Brozovic, that's like three world-class midfielders, and to have Herdman line up in a 3-4-3, 4-4-2 kind of hybrid there, to only have two midfielders up against those three was a massive mistake.
I fully agree with that, and I was texting a number of people during the game, and I was saying that Canada was constantly getting overrun in midfield, and then second half, really, not a whole heck of a lot changed. So I'm with you in the sense that Herdman probably made his first tactical errors during his time being coach of Canada, and you know, in many ways, yeah, it was the midfield battle in which Canada lost, that they got overrun, that Croatia was so easily playing between the lines, particularly in the second half, and then the few transition moments were always a bit nervy for Canada. But I suppose it's not all doom and gloom, as Canada has the opportunity to play spoiler in their final match against Morocco. Do you think that John Herdman will field his best 11 in this match, or and really go for it, Gaetano?
I mean, I would like to see him go for it. I'd like to see Canada get a result at the tournament. That would be great. But I also think that some of the guys who haven't started or haven't featured, it would be nice for them. You know, like, we're not going through, there's nothing to lose in giving these players those minutes. So either way, I'll be pretty happy with it. You know, we have to learn to walk before we can run. So this tournament's us, you know, learning to walk, getting the first goal, you know, hopefully getting a result. But yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, some other conversations I had, it's sort of a silly way to look at it, if you will, but it's like all eyes on 2026 now, and we still have a game here to play, which everyone in Canada will of course be supporting, but it is all about, yes, like you said, walking before you can run and these sorts of things, and these are the first steps in the right direction, and it's great exposure for Canada to be here, and certainly as a country, we couldn't be any more proud. In Group E, it was one of the most highly anticipated matches of the group stage. Spain and Germany met in what was a match of high quality and high standards. After Germany's disappointing defeat in their first match, it was Spain who got their noses out in front thanks to Alvaro Morata on 62 minutes, certainly worrying the German fans as their side were on the brink of elimination. Needing a response, the Germans were able to attain just that, leaving it a little late, tying the match with just 7 minutes remaining. With chances to win it in stoppage time, it was to no avail. In the end, it was a 1-1 draw between these two formidable teams. Gee, a really good game here. Your thoughts, my friend?
Yeah, super high quality game between two very, very good sides. Spain looked really impressive, and I kind of ragged on them in our predictions. And like rightfully so, they're starting Rodri at center back, which he's not a center back. Sergio Ramos still playing, should be probably there. But yeah, they played really well. And Germany, they're Germany. They know they can grind out results, whether it's, you know, the starting 11 or they have a lot of quality to bring off the bench. I thought it was a phenomenal game.
I agree with that. The quality on display in that game was huge. And I also think that just the way that Germany was able to finish that game, I think that's going to do, you look at games like that, Gaetano, and you think, you know, when was the turning point in the tournament for a team? When did things all of a sudden change? I almost feel like that was the moment when they scored that goal and tied it, and then they pressed really hard at the end to try and find a winner. I think that that's going to bode really well for Germany. And I also think that in the case of Spain, they do look really good. Yes, some players are being played out of position, but I have a funny feeling that both of these teams are going to do really well come the knockout stage if they do, in fact, advance. If you enjoy goals in quick succession, then you probably really enjoyed Cameroon and Serbia in Group G today, which was Monday morning. Three goals in the first half and three goals in the second. It was a back and forth battle, which saw several key and definitive moments on display. A 3-3 draw in the end between these two countries. A lot of goals to talk about. And Cameroon clawing their way back into it after being two goals down. Gee, this was a really fun contest, this one. I was able to watch the full game this morning when I was at the gym, and I was able to do my cardio and watch it, and I was quite literally on the edge of my bicycle seat, which was cool. But your analysis of this match, sir?
Like, these are the type of games that the World Cup is all about. Two very, like, even teams, not, like, the best teams in the world, but just, you know, a couple of quality players really showing what they can do, and a 3-3 draw, I think, was a totally fair result.
I agree with that, and it was a really, really fun game to watch for certain. More goals to be had this time in Group H between South Korea and Ghana. Ghana found themselves in front, two goals to the good, before South Korea brought themselves level, thanks to two goals from Cho Gu-sung. In the end, it was Ghana who was able to find the match winner in the 68th minute and claim a very important 3 points. G, a tight contest here. What are you saying about this one?
I think Ghana looked really, really impressive in this game. They didn't really surprise me much in their opening game, but they played really, really well today.
Definitely, and there's a lot of positive press out there right now about Ghana. So seeing as they go into their final game of the group stage, they have a great chance to qualify, I would say. In Group G, it was a highly anticipated match between Brazil and Switzerland. Both sides were seeking a second win in the group stage, but only one could claim it. That team was Brazil, who defeated Switzerland by a score of 1-0. Gaetano, Brazil largely controlled this match and now find themselves in the round of 16. Your thoughts?
Yeah, pretty fair results. Switzerland didn't generate too much in this game. Brazil was pretty dominant. Pretty routine stuff for them.
The final match of the second round of games in the group stage saw Portugal take on Uruguay. In the end, it was Bruno Fernandes who stole the show, scoring both of Portugal's goals en route to a 2-0 victory. The Portuguese win, and that books them a spot in the last 16. Gaetano, all six possible points collected so far by Portugal. Just how good was this Portugal victory in your opinion?
They looked really good. Uruguay is a very tough team, really, really solid midfield. So a 2-0 result is a great result against them.
Totally agree with that. And now, when we take a look at the way that things stand, after two matches played by all teams at the World Cup, the table in each group is as follows. Group A sees the Netherlands and Ecuador as joint top on 4 points, as well as an equal goal difference, if you can believe that. Senegal trails them by just 1 point, and Qatar, of course, are out of the tournament, and they are at the bottom with no points and, again, no possibility of qualifying. Group B has England at the top with 4 points, Iran in second with 3 points, the United States with 2 points, and Wales with 1 point. Quite literally, anyone can get through in this group to the knockout phase. In Group C, it's Poland atop the table with 4 points. Argentina and Saudi Arabia are both on 3 points, but Argentina does edge them out at the moment on goal difference. Mexico sits at the bottom with a single point. Anyone in Group C can go through the round of 16 pending the fixtures, much like we just discussed in Group B. In Group D, France has earned a spot in the round of 16 as they have claimed 6 points from a possible six. Australia sits in second with 3 points. Denmark and Tunisia both have 1 point. It is now between Australia, Denmark, and Tunisia to see who will get the final spot in this group to get into the round of 16. A wide open Group E sees Spain at the top of the group with 4 points. Japan holds second place based on goal difference with Costa Rica as both sides have 3 points. Germany are currently bottom but still have a chance to qualify as they have 1 point. In Group F, Croatia now sit at the top of the table with 4 points. Morocco have moved their way into second place, also having 4 points, but a lesser goal difference than Croatia. Belgium are very much in it with 3 points. Unfortunately, Canada, being in fourth with 0 points, are now eliminated from qualification contention in this tournament. In Group G, it's Brazil who find themselves at the top of the group, claiming all six available points. They have advanced to the knockout phase as a result of their two performances. It's now between second place Switzerland, third place Cameroon, and fourth place Serbia for who will get that final position in the round of 16. Group H closes things out as Portugal sits atop of the group with all 6 points to their name. It's Ghana in second with 3 points. South Korea are in third place with a single point, along with Uruguay, who also have a single point. It's all to play for in Group H with Ghana, South Korea, and Uruguay all vying for the final position in the knockout phase. Gaetano, has there been a highlight for you this World Cup? I know there's been so many awesome moments, incredible moments, some shock results, these sorts of things, but has there been a highlight in this World Cup as we approach the third and final round of games in this group stage?
So for me, it's a three-way tie between the Canada-Belgium game. Just to finally see the boys in the World Cup was incredible. The Fonzie goal was just, you know, I'll never forget watching that in Avery's garage with him. My best friend, and just, you know, that moment is going to be like, it's burned into my memory forever. And then also just the Messi goal against Mexico, because this is probably his last World Cup, and to kind of see him do it one more time was a treat to watch.
Three great moments, and none of which that can be contested in any way, shape, or form. And I'm with you on that those three moments were, in fact, fantastic, along with we could pick a multitude of different moments, because this World Cup has brought us already some great memories, and there's still a long, long way to go. And so far, G, it's France, Brazil, and Portugal as the three teams who have booked their place in the last 16. Out of these three teams, who has been the best in your opinion? Who has impressed you most?
I'm going to go with France just because I feel like they've played a higher quality of opponent so far. No disrespect to the teams that Portugal and Brazil have played, but I definitely think France have had the hardest games and have gotten the best results out of them.
Yeah, I was actually going to lean with France as well, purely because, like you said, the level of competition has probably been just slightly higher than Brazil and Portugal, but also with the amount of injuries and things that have had to change in that French squad, I think that they've done a fabulous job, and I think Didier Deschamps, the manager of France, deserves a ton of credit. Brazil, of course, have controlled each game that they have played. Portugal has shown themselves to be a very resolute, experienced side, so all three teams deserving to get into the round of 16, but yeah, France probably just a step above. World Cup games continue tomorrow, where the cycle starts again, back in Group A with Ecuador taking on Senegal and the Netherlands taking on hosts Qatar. In Group B, Iran will play against the United States, and to end the day, it's Wales to face England. All of these games can be watched on your local television sports network. This is Daniel Scarpino and Gaetano Gallo, and you are listening to Full Time on the Game Sports Show. A reminder that Full Time is sponsored by Little Caesars Pizza. You can download and access the Pizza Portal app for any of the three locations in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Have a delicious, hot and ready pizza from Little Caesars today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Full Time. As we conclude today's show, we want to express our gratitude for you all being a part of this journey here with us. Your support is more than we could ask for. G, another great one in the books, my friend. Thank you for everything tonight.
As always, Scarps, thanks for having me.
Always, man. A reminder to our listeners that the next episode of Full Time will be recorded and uploaded the week of December 5th, 2022, so next week for those listening right now. For the weekly content on Full Time, make sure to hit like, follow and subscribe to all of our platforms of both the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and now back on Podbean. Be sure to check out our website at www.thegamesportsshow.com. That's www.thegamesportsshow.com. For Gaetano Gallo, my name is Daniel Scarpino, and thank you for tuning in to Full Time. We look forward to seeing you at kickoff next week back here on the Game Sports Show and the Game Entertainment and Media. Best always.